comes. Shazari has the ball in. At the buzzer, he throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76-all, Shazari flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Shazari goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
And a pleasant good afternoon. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone. It's the Pag Meter. It's Matty J on a windy day. It's windy and the storm is coming.
Yeah, Hurricane Fifi is moving in.
It's on its way. Little Fifi is on its way. We don't know how big it's going to be, but get your yard work done right now. But they said this afternoon,
3 o'clock, 90% chance of rain. Head up there, it's going to ruin. I'm also a track coach, so I've got the guys working out and sprinters and all that. I don't think we're going to be working out on the track today.
I don't think so either. I'm going to call it.
I think it's going to be rained out.
It's probably not a good day when it's windy alone for track.
We can always come out to Fashion Furniture, clear a little, few sofas out of the way, maybe a few dining room tables. We've got a track, indoor track facility sitting right here. This is the Palatial Palace we call Fashion Furniture. We always want to pay tribute to the people that help bring this show to you once, twice, three times a lady, sometimes every day of the week.
Well, it's the January clearance sale going. They've been here since 1960, and this is one of the best times of year. If you want to get your house cranking up, like Bobby and Betsy's house future, someday we'll be getting it cranking up here. And this is the January clearance sale happening right now. El Paso Blackstone, next door in the Mattress Center, it all together.
Yes, sir, you are correct. And, of course, to our good friends at Dickie's Barbecue, the barbecue pit. They're serving up nice, hot, why are you laughing? Pulled pork sandwiches.
I like
cookie
it.
In there.
I like their cookies.
Bonnie baked off the cookies, lemonade in the kitchen, in the Coca-Cola kitchen here. Unbelievable.
I want to thank all our great sponsors. This Rise has been going on for 16-plus years. We got great sponsors. People want to be a part of it. And I thank everyone, Bowman and Associates, from all of them. We got a lot of new ones going to be coming in. Thank
this
you so much.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Well, we got a lot of hot topics out there. We're going to talk with Ryan Smith.
No, there's nothing happening
right now. Ryan Smith from Clovis East is going to join us in a little while. I'm going to be emceeing their big baseball dinner. It's one of the best, by the way.
Well, if you're looking for raffle prizes, they do it right. You've got quads, all types of unique, a puppy, a dog. I mean,
I think they're giving away a baby elephant this year. I don't know. We got to check. It's unbelievable. But it is on Saturday night, and Ryan will give us updated. It's baseball season. Just like track, baseball's out, softball's out. Pag Meter early predictions or rankings will come out soon. I'm getting my football all-star team going, and it's busy out there. But, Matt, we do know we have a big – I want to talk – I put it on there. Well, first, before we get into that, Tom Flores got snubbed again from the Hall of Fame. Your thoughts?
Tragic. Unfair.
Did he get snubbed or did he just didn't make the cut?
Yeah, there's a feeling that people say snub this that. No, you just didn't get in. You didn't make the cut.
It's not Al Davis involved or anything. They don't like Al Davis.
Nah, who knows? Maybe personal preferences of who. I mean, you look at Drew Pearson, personal preference. I'll take Drew Pearson over Harold Carmichael. I thought they both obviously were deserving. The big fella, 6'7", 6'8", wideout, revolutionized the tall boy position for the Philadelphia Eagles. I grew up with Harold Carmichael. That's my era. But I don't think it's a snub. I just think everyone has a different little perspective of who did what, who accomplished what. But the Drew Pearson thing, more so than Tom Flores, even though that's our local legend, he should be in the Hall of Fame. Coach Flores is one of a kind. But Drew Pearson getting snubbed, the Dallas Cowboys number eight, the original number eight, before there was Michael Irvin and Dez Bryant and all that, you and I, you're just a wee bit older than I am, but Drew Pearson, that's one of my favorite figures growing up as a kid. I mean, if Lynn Swann got in for the Steelers, based on the strength of probably four Super Bowls, but he wasn't any better of a receiver than Drew Pearson. I don't get it.
Yeah. And here's what I don't get as well. Is there's a certain time where, okay, you're done. We voted you enough. You're done. But you can be a professional politician for a million years and no problem. But Hall of Fame, how about what if it changes?
They have the hall. They've got that wrong. They need.
It
they
makes
need to
no
fix,
sense.
They need to fix that.
It's horrible. Tom Flores is the only. Well, next to Mike Ditka, he won a Super Bowl as a player, as an assistant coach, as a head coach. Only two: Mike Ditka and Tom Flores.
Special man.
I mean, so he's got a stadium on his finger. So it's just sad. I thought he was going to do it. The Raiders haven't been the same since he left. By
well,
the way,
I think it's sad that, in all honesty, the whole procedure stinks. That's just my opinion, but the whole procedure stinks.
And why? What would you, how would you change
it? Let's say I'm Tom Flores, and you're going to notify me weeks in advance, like, hey, you've made the cut. You're up for nomination to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. I'd rather you just call me on the day and say, hey, didn't work out. Or, hey, you're in.
Yeah.
I don't want any kind of pre-set up routine like what Drew Pearson went through and brought his whole family over like it was high school national football signing day, and then he has to find out by what he's watching that he didn't get in. Why would you even lead me into that path? Just let me know. Am I in or out? I don't want to know how the vote went. I don't want anything about anything.
At least they do. It's a little different in baseball where they have some ex-NFL people involved with the vote, correct? Compared to baseball where they have...
Oh, there's a large cast. Oh, I don't even know how or why certain people get in, certain people don't.
But at least their own kind is voting from their own kind. Where baseball, you have the sport writers who have never played a sport in their life. And it just makes me sick to my stomach there. You're going to get a sports writer voting for a Hall of Fame. I want a Hall of Fame committee. I want former. If I'm in the club, let me vote if Matt Johnson is going to come in or not.
All right, fair enough. No, I disagree.
Really? 100%. You want writers? You want sport
Absolutely.
Writers?
Absolutely. If you're
a little guy on a typewriter who's never played a sport in his life,
it doesn't matter.
It matters to me.
In the world of sports, there are the players and there are the journalists who write and report on it. They're all one and the same, in my opinion. They're all part of the sport.
Are you kidding me? They don't even know how to put a mitt on. You're going to tell me to vote for Hall
of
Fame?
That's usually not the case, but in some cases, you're right. In some cases, that's. But still, they report on it. That's like, who knows better what's going on than the person that's whole beat reporting gig is going on the road with the Houston Astros watching these cheaters go through their little skate through the playoffs and winning World Series, which we're going to get to. They're part of it, though. They're in it. They absorb it daily, more so sometimes than the players
I
do.
Disagree.
So I do disagree.
Well, I disagree
Sports
because –
Sports writers and players are one and the same. Now, clearly, if you're going to get an argument with me over the ins and outs – of why cover two is a better coverage than cover three, and you're some sports writer, don't be talking to me. I played the game. But if you're going to talk to me about what player was this, what player made an impact on all that, you got to go sports writers.
I don't know. I hear some of these guys on the radio. I hear some of these guys on the radio, and that you can tell they never played a sport in their life. I don't really care what they think. They come on the radio. I don't really care. Go write your little stupid article, but don't tell me who's going to be in the Hall of Fame when you don't vote 100% of the time for Ken Griffey Jr.
Well,
I didn't vote for him because, well, everyone was going to vote for him. I decided I'm going to vote on somebody else. What? Go back in mom's basement.
Well, that does drive me nuts.
Yeah,
there's never been a unanimous play. How is that possible? And by the way.
Sorry, I just don't. I disagree.
That's the other side of it. I do agree with you, but I can't put that all off on the sports writers. The Heisman Trophy. Think about that one. The Heisman Trophy. I don't know how many voters there is anymore. We're 1,000, I'm sure. But how do you? What's the criteria? Because there's journalists, sports writers, ex-players, ex-this. It's a hodgepodge of voters in that deal too. And they go out and select who the winner of the Heisman Trophy will be. It is what it is. You got to have some format.
I
just think Drew Pearson, that was my only point. Yes, Tom Flores, exactly. Unfortunately, based on media and based on today's ability to do this thing instantaneous by the networks and all that, I think what I saw out of the Drew Pearson show on television was the most sad moment of disposable heroes in sports. I mean, that was like the movie. Remember the movie Dennis Quaid, Everybody's All-American?
Yeah.
He's an LSU running back. He's superstar All-American, and he got old, and you watched his career fold out in the family and the tragedies in his life, and they bring him back to LSU at Death Valley to introduce him at halftime, and the crowd is, you know, cheering, and there's all kinds of great things going on. He's at midfield, and the crowd gives up a big roar, and he's kind of tipping his cap like it's about me, but it's really just the college team is taking the field, and they're cheering. You're just – no one really cares. Very sad. And that Drew Pearson moment reminded me of that movie, Everybody's All-American, where you get a little up in age, and you start, you know, really get feeling good about what you've accomplished, and they shoot you down like that.
And I think the only team that would care would be LSU on something like that. But Drew Pearson, these young people anymore don't know who Drew Pearson was. That's the sad thing.
I don't think the young people are really voting, though.
I know, but it's just the point that Drew Pearson, he played in the 70s? You know, well.
I guess. I mean, it's everyone's opinion on the deal. That was just my take on that. I do have a take on LSU in this national championship game, this big win over Clemson, which pretty much everybody had kind of seen coming. There was a few out there, but the line was pretty much solid with LSU. It was a 7-point favorite.
You and I came out at least 14. I thought it would be a 14-point
favorite.
Yeah,
I liked LSU. I thought they're just too much. But you know what? It kind of exposed – and Ed Ogeron and I are good friends. I've known Ed for years. Ed and I actually talked a couple of years ago when he got the gig over there at LSU, and – good man. Used to come out and recruit the Valley a little bit, too. I'll tell you, it kind of goes to show you that the teams that really win the big show, the Alabama Clemsons, now LSU, they're as renegade outlaw as any of the programs. NCAA could come in right now. Of course, we know about Odell Beckham, you know, floating the guy's $100 bills. What a complete moron he is. But if that's what's going on after a game by one of your famous alumni, what do you think's going on in the summertime, in the regular time? And
without the camera
at dinner, when the camera's not even on you. Of course there's illegal stuff going on. Once again, more proof positive, factual evidence that this NCAA sham artist of an organization needs to reevaluate everything and go bye-bye, because it's really just a big scam. These kids are professional athletes. They're playing in front of millions and millions and millions of viewers in a giant sold-out arena. Tickets are $1,000 a piece. Everybody's getting paid. It's a big spectacle. And now we're all kind of down on LSU because this guy's giving them the $100 handshakes. But guess what, folks? That goes on everywhere. If you think the Southeast Conference or any of these big conferences are holier than that, good luck. The biggest cheating scandal that I was ever involved in personally was what Notre Dame how they were trying to get recruits. So don't let anybody tell you that the game is all clean and it's the spirit of amateurism. It's semi-professional to professional athletics. Let the NCAA figure that out and get them out of the way and change the rules.
I would guess if you're going to LSU, you want to be playing on Sunday someday.
You think?
And that's what they want.
You think?
Yeah. And you want to go to Alabama, LSU, Ohio State. There's only certain teams you want to play on Sunday, you're going, because you can play in the national championship.
Nick Saban, who's the most famous football coach probably in the world other than Bill Belichick, or coach, I should say, in the world other than Bill. Antonio Gates, by the way, Hall of Famer now. Antonio Gates, the great San Diego Charger tight end, played basketball at a high level in college and finished out at Kent State and did his thing. And Nick Saban got him to go to Michigan State, and he was selling the kid, according to Antonio Gates' interview, was selling Antonio on the idea that one day, son, you're going to be getting paid. You're going to the NFL. You're like a first-round draft pick. You're exactly what the NFL needs. 6'4", 260, tight end, catches the ball, athletic. You're exactly what pro football. And it kind of dawned on me once again with this NCAA crap that they're selling this idea of, you know, well, you get the education paid for you. When the great coach is selling to the high school kid, you need to play football and basketball, but you need to play football. You're going to get paid one day to play football. That's what's selling these kids these days, is the idea that one day they would go pro. And if Nick Saban's doing it, they're all doing it. That's a big recruiting enticement.
Heck yeah.
So I don't want to hear Nick Saban, well, you want to come to Michigan State and get your degree. you're going to be set up in business at Michigan. No, you're going to come to Michigan State and play football, son. I'm going to get you the NFL.
That's why I think the Fresno State needs an NFL guy in the defensive second, like a Tim McDonald he did.
Yep.
Those kids want to be played,
they
be paid
know,
someday.
What do I need to do?
Yeah.
Are you going to help me? Who do you know to make phone calls? I want to get an opportunity to not just go to the combine. How do I become a pro
yes.
in this sport that I love so much? Period.
That's what it's all about.
The good teams. Now, there's schools over there in the NAIA and North Dakota and James Madison and those schools that went to the FCS championship. Not all of them are bent on they're going to be pros one day. A lot of them are. I'm talking about in the big show, the show that pays the bills, the FBS championship games, the playoff games, the Final Four. That's all it's about. It's a professional game.
My other issue, and you saw it too, the defensive penalty for Clemson, guy got kicked out of the game for targeting. And I'm sorry, but can I get some NFL people or college people in the booth to make the call? People act like, this is what I got a problem with, Matt. Okay, before this play, I'm going to hit someone. I'm going to hit them, spear them as hard as I can right now. You have a split decision to make a tackle.
Correct.
And then when they go, he's out of the game, they send him out like he just robbed a bank.
Yeah.
It makes me sick. Okay, I'm not arguing that he targeted. Great. 15-yard penalty. Do you have to kick him out of the game?
Boy, you and I are together on this one.
It just made me sick.
Did a bunch of fat cat bureaucrats at the NCAA or the rules committee, whoever these yahoos are, sit in a room and think, you know, and what we're going to do further is, once we get the penalty and penalize the opponent to send our message about let's keep the game as safe as we can, okay, now we want to humiliate the athlete. Oh, by the way, he's an amateur college athlete, but we all know he's a pro. Let's call it what it is. But they want to, one end, talk about education and doing the right thing by these young student athletes. But on the other side, they want to humiliate a young man and escort him not only off the field. You have to leave the field to play. Get in the locker room. You can't even be part of your team right now. Heinous criminal. Absolutely the most egregious offense in all of athletics. You called it, Nick Papagni, 6 years ago on this show, high school track and field, same idea. You mean I false started, you're going to come over and flash a card in my face without even a smile and a handshake and send me packing back home at this California State meet that I've trained for 10 years of my life, and you're going to send me with this walk of shame off the track. Same thing with football. How in the world is that an offense that's so egregious you need to be treated like a common criminal? Thank you so much, Nick.
Yeah, I think it'll change. I think you and I, we're so ahead sometime of our show's topics. We're sometimes 6 months to a year ahead of anybody else. Let's get into it. The baseball. The cheating going on. Let me hear your side because I got my side.
Well, the first thing is, okay, something that we knew was always part of the game. I'm going to try to steal signs. I'm going to try to get an advantage over you. You and I have had this discussion on this show. That's part of the deal. If your signs are so weak and feeble that I can sit back and say, oh, yeah, did you see that? Yeah, oh, he's stealing. Oh, yeah, you see that? That's fastball. I got it. If your signal signs are so bad, I get it. But when you start deploying technical advantage and using camera angles and all that, now you're flat out cheating. That's a cheating scandal, the likes of which is as good as the Black Sox scandal. And this is my take on the deal. Okay, you happened. You got caught. Sorry. Oh, well. Boston Red Sox, you too. Where are we going to strip them of their World Series? When are we going to take that away? Maybe turn your rings back in and call it a day. Because in the world of amateur Olympic athletes, if you get caught doping but you won 3 gold medals, guess what? Those gold medals are no longer yours. You're off the podium. If you get caught, i.e. Reggie Bush, USC, for having an agent illegally, guess what? You played in what game? That national championship game is voided. USC, you lose that trophy. Heisman Trophy we gave you already? I'm sorry, Heisman Trophy is being taken away. Why are we not taking away the World Series from these clowns?
You know
why? That's my take.
You know why?
And why isn't Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame? And why isn't Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame? Admitted, we know Pete Rose cheated. But I think this is far worse. You guys, that cheating on getting signs cost another squad from winning a World Series. Houston Astros, no World Series. Red Sox, sorry, that's one of my favorite teams. No World Series for you.
You know why?
Yes.
Because everyone cheats.
No.
Everybody. You don't think every game is on TV? Listen.
Yes.
Every game is on TV, and everybody sees the catcher sign. It's going to look like it's going to be a fastball. You know, you got Kipe and, you know, the Hulk giant pro. Oh, yeah, it's going to be a fastball. It's going to throw a fastball here. You don't think anyone in their locker room's got a TV going fastball? They're relaying signals. Everybody does it, Matt. Everyone cheats. Everybody cheats.
Okay.
Everybody cheats.
All right.
Now, my question is, if that's the case, the players made a deal. Okay, you know, we all cheat, but we're going to have to throw someone under the bus. Let's give the managers. Why don't the this is my if you're going to take down the managers, let's take down the players who make a living on it.
Well, once again, back to my original thought, which upsets the heck out of me. I don't condone performance-enhancing drugs. But you know what? Using your same line of your theory, well, everybody was taking the drugs to hit home runs. Everybody, every pitcher wanted to get a longer career, a faster fastball. So they all were taking drugs. But they found a few, Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds, right? Sammy Sosa, these guys that were, you know, helping the league out, and they get punished and will never even step foot in the Hall of Fame. But they picked on this, if you think everyone's doing, which, by the way, I don't believe everyone's. I believe everybody is trying to attempt to drive their NASCAR race car faster. Everybody's trying to get signs. They're trying to get an advantage. But they took it to a whole different level.
How?
You can't tell me everyone's doing that.
Tell me.
But they've got cameras.
How do they do that? Okay.
Camera wall.
You still have to hit a fastball. This is what kills me.
No.
Even if I know it, do I know the location's coming?
If
the fastball, I'm swinging at it because I know it's a fastball. But if I'm pitching, I still pitch, by the way.
Yeah.
And there's a guy at second base stealing my signals. You know how I handle that? I hit the guy.
Yeah.
I warn him one time, if you steal my signal one more time, he's going down. That's how baseball has their own rules.
Yeah.
They take care of it. They police it. If I think, and this is why I like Verlander in the World Series, they change their signals on every batter. You ever notice?
Yeah.
Him and the catcher changed, and they got it sick because of that.
Now, why would he do that? Because he knows that his team's cheating.
Everybody cheats, Matt.
Someone else
Matt, just like you said, college. It. Everyone cheats, right? Yeah. You said everyone's giving money.
Well,
everyone.
I can't make a blanket statement.
Well,
like that.
I'm letting you know.
I meant a lot do.
As long as it's on TV and there's electronics in the stadium, someone's trying to figure it out. Now, if you're that stupid to have signals where, it was a fastball, one. If you're not changing the signals up, you're an idiot, and you deserve to lose. All I know is that they showed the Dodgers, and if I hear one more Dodger, they give us the World Series. Go look at your videos of Kershaw throwing a 90-mile-an-hour fastball right down Cockapoo Lane. Stevie Wonder could hit that.
Yeah.
Okay? Stevie Wonder, we go 2-for-3 off Kershaw throwing it right down the middle like that. I'm sorry, Dodger fans. You lost the World Series.
I'm not asking for anybody to give the runner-up the trophy or anything like that. No, I'm just talking about this. There should be a big asterisk for these years, from the 17 Red Sox to the Astros of 18, whoever it is, they need to remove them as World Series champions.
Why? I'm asking you why.
If they don't,
why?
Then they need to retrace their thoughts on Barry Bonds, on Pete Rose, on any other scandal that's ever broke loose that was punished for it. Then I'll be okay with it. But right now, I'm saying you can't have a double standard. You can't have a college football player that did something that a lot of other people do, and that's secure an agent before their playing career in college is done, because that doesn't sway the difference of a football game. It doesn't. That's personal to him and his family. But when you are stealing signs electronically to the system that they were under, you now have a huge advantage in the game over the opponent you're playing.
Do you know for a fact that the Dodgers weren't doing it? Or the Cardinals or the Giants? Do you know for a fact?
Well, no. We've got a caller. Go ahead. Bring them on in there, Gonzo.
I don't know who it is. Derek, welcome. You're on the rise.
Hey guys, how you doing? Couple of opinions in regards to the cheating scandal. One, the Red Sox and Astros true fan base will still remain intact. To the other fans of the other major league teams, including myself, being a Dodger, I'm gonna throw it out there. I'm gonna look at the Astros and Red Sox differently because they blatantly got caught cheating. I'm not saying that, they got caught cheating, give it to the Dodgers. I'm not saying that at all. To my opinion, number two, the 2017 and 2018 World Series should be vacant. Why the Astros and Red Sox still have the World Series Championship trophy, I don't understand. I'm like you guys. It's like you got caught cheating, but yet you can still hold on to the championship. That doesn't make no sense at all. Yeah. Outside of that, whatever happens to them during the season, they're going to hear the boo birds like crazy on the road, because once a cheater, always a cheater. That's going to be a black mark. That's going to tarnish their organizations for the rest of their careers. And I'll take your opinions on the air, guys. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Derek. I agree 100%. And I agree a little bit with what you're saying. Could very well be. We don't know. As much as performance-enhancing drugs were out there, can I honestly say everyone was doing it? No, you can't say that. I say it sometimes like that. That's not truly what I believe in or mean. I just mean there's a large percentage. And if there's a large percentage of Major League Baseball teams that are using the next step to try to gather signs, if they get caught, they need to strip them of their championships. I'm not talking about awarding anyone that was the runner-up. That would be a little bit hard to do, obviously. But let baseball history, in my opinion, show that the Red Sox, the Astros, and anyone else who falls into that category, there should be something, because baseball is the number one sport when it comes down to historical numbers. And did you understand that I batted? They're so big into the numbers. They should at least acknowledge, and I mean within the next week, because they responded quickly. The $5 million fines went out. Guys that were part of that organization lost their jobs. The next step is they need to remove the Astros and anyone else from that World Series record and take it off the books.
You are a buffoon, okay?
Take it off the books.
Because everybody is cheating. Everybody. And I guarantee every Major League team right now, Matt, is holding their breath because this thing could go down. This is baseball at its finest of panicking. No other sport does what baseball does. When they panic, oh, let's suspend him forever. Every sport, I don't know about basketball. I don't know how you could cheat in basketball unless you do something with the rims.
Can you at least acknowledge, and I would shut up, and I would tell myself, I'm an idiot. I would admit to you, if you could at least acknowledge, using your logic, if that's what's going on, then how in the world is Barry Bonds not in the Hall of Fame? What did he do wrong?
Well,
apparently he cheated. Everybody was cheating, but he got excluded from the biggest thing in baseball, the Hall of Fame. So why can't you at least acknowledge, hey, if you want to roll the dice, Mr. Astros, Mr. Dodger, Mr. whoever, if you want to roll the dice and go above and beyond what the rule book says you can do, if you get caught, you lose your championship. Baseball, if you get caught taking PEDs, you lose your opportunity in baseball. Why can't you – can you admit to
well,
that?
Well, my Major League source says 50% still do steroids, 50% in Major League Baseball. If you get caught doing steroids in baseball, you are stupid, because they will tell you a week in advance when they're going to do the testing. So you're an idiot. When you get caught, 80-game suspension, you're a pure idiot. That's my Major League source.
Hey. Fair statement. Okay. I'm trying to answer the question.
The other thing is for me, because I played baseball since I was – 2 feet tall.
Yep.
If someone thinks you're stealing signals from us, we're going to change them. If I'm going to be that stupid and still stay with my signals and something's going on, then you're an idiot. I'm sorry. Everybody figures out a way to get the upper hand on another team. It happens in Little League. I see Little League coaches figuring out what the pitch is coming. It happens all the way up. And they're throwing the Astros and the Red Sox into the oven because they're trying to make a point. This has to stop.
Well, Astros and
it
Red
will
Sox,
never
they're,
stop.
They're going to lose their
As long as there's a TV, go this year when you watch the baseball game, and they show the catcher signals, and all of a sudden now he's given a whole bunch of signals when there's no one on base, you know. But as long as you're going to get one signal for a fastball and there's a TV camera out there and there's a TV camera in the locker room, someone is picking up that number one for a fastball.
Right. Okay. So, once again, the logic that everyone's doing it. Then why do you think the supposed whistleblower happened to be a pitcher who used to be on the staff of the Astros, was pitching out for another program, got shellacked by the Astros, and that's when he had to come out? You think that was wrong or right, that he turned it all in to let them know He just got worked on the mound by the Astros, who clearly probably were taking his signs. And now, there are a few that say, that's ridiculous. That's unwritten rules. You can't talk on each other like that. We're supposed to be all in together on this deal. I say that he did the only thing he could do to preserve his career. If you're going to beat me up as I'm trying to pitch strikes and use your cheating against me, I'm going to expose you. And I think that's what happened. It is what happened. He turned him in.
Oh, my.
And there's some people a little upset that he would do that to the great game, the great sport of baseball, but he turned him in. He had to turn him in. And if it was wrong, you think Major League Baseball would have acted so quickly? They could have fined him $30 million if the league would allow a fine of that magnitude. They took it to the full extent, $5 million, as much as they can go legally.
They're trying to make a point.
They're going
to
take away the
championships. No, they're not.
Astros are no longer the
zero chance.
No longer.
Go look at some of the Game 7 when Kershaw was pitching and he's throwing it 90 miles right down the middle. I'm telling you right now.
Can we have no more show between you and I? The show is over. That's the entire show. We're going to have to bring in, let's talk Clovis East baseball, because we have no more show.
Well, I'm going to ask Ryan.
Our opening monologue was our entire show. Well, where do we go from
here? Got
I can go to Antonio.
Yeah.
I can go to Antonio
I've got
Brown
coaching. We got a lot of things. But I'm going to even ask Ryan Smith, the head coach of Clovis East. When we come back from the break, but high school coaches, they're changing signals all the time, too, because they don't want Buchanan to see what they're doing. Why don't we just, hey, everybody, we're going to steal now.
Hey, if you're
That's
gonna,
the way life is, Matt.
If you're good enough to go to Vegas and know how to count cards, if your mind can work from a two decks, three decks, four decks, but you're that good, and you can, to me, that's part of the game. To count cards. Oh, yeah. Hit me. Yep, I know I'm – Yeah, I know I've got 16. I'm going to hit it again. I know there's a 5 out there somewhere. If you're that guy, I think that's legal. If you are going to Vegas and not only counting cards, but you've got an electronic device, you've got another buddy with a camera showing this or that, now you're cheating. Well, you admit that. Don't give me this, everybody's doing it.
The only way to me, you're cheating.
It'll never be looked at the same.
The only way, they are
corrupt.
The only way... You're cheating to me in football. If Matt Johnson is my offensive coordinator, I'm up in the booth, and I say, we need to run. Let's run the play action. And the other team has hear me say that to you. That's cheating. The rest.
Baseball. That's what they did.
Basically. If baseball, I don't care. Change your signal.
If I'm at the plate, if I'm at the plate and I know conclusively,
can I finish
100%,
my?
Here comes curveball. You don't think that's an advantage?
And can I finish my point? The only other way in baseball is if they have the earphones to the catcher and the catcher says to the pitcher, they got an earphone.
Yeah.
Curveball.
Yeah.
Outside. And everyone knows that, hey, he's throwing a curveball outside. If I'm giving fingers for and you know what's coming, then good for you. Good for you. You picked off my signals. Bravo, Maddie. Bravo.
You picked off
that's
my signals.
That's it. Good. Then you're better than I am. You're smarter than I am.
Not the camera. Maybe the way. How about this one? It ain't about signals either. I know this much about your beloved game of baseball. If I'm holding the baseball in my glove a certain way.
Oh, good.
Oh, that's the cutter.
Okay, let's take a break. We got to get Smitty on next.
I see. It's the slider. He's holding it.
I'm dealing with a guy who's ever played baseball in his life, and he's going to tell me that's part of the game.
You know I'm right. Let's go to a break. You know it.
We'll take Ryan Smith, Clovis East Baseball, come up next.
Do not defend
him. 940 ESPN. We'll be right back.
Local sports.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Colliers International, Fashion Furniture across from River Park, Emmanuel Schools, and Van Buren Insurance.
We need to put this show on commercials on Twitter. That's what I need to do, because our between commercials are even better than the show. It's the Pag Meter. It's Matty J here at Fashion Furniture.
We're genuine.
But I need to put it.
This is not a show. This is not some entertainment. I am thoroughly not happy with you.
The reason why it's not on.
I'm disgusted with your analogy of this cheating Astro Red Sox.
The reason why it's not on Twitter, because I did it one time and Matt got a new job the next day. So we haven't put it on Twitter since. It's the Fashion Furniture Rise Show here on a Thursday afternoon.
You had a camera rolling, and of course I might say some things that are a little bit off the typical educational path.
Well, you got a better job now.
For who I really am.
But you exposed the team you were before, who Let me expose something to you right now, okay?
It's called In Your Face right now. Okay, right. Let's introduce right. our great yeah. guest we've had on before.
But I do, before we get happening. To Ryan Smith, I want to thank Fashion Furniture. They have the January clearance sale going on. Everything in this store almost is on clearance sale. You want to get on down to Fashion Furniture. It's springtime. Believe it or not, Easter's on its way. I don't want to get my wife Lori in here because I know she wants to buy a table. She's listening right now. And she's like, she thinks I'm the mafia now. That's because that's how you were growing up. I'm like, oh, my wife's even on me.
Game over, Lori. Game over.
Do want to thank Dickie's Barbecue, but let's bring in Ryan Smith, Clovis East Baseball. Ryan, welcome in. This is your fourth year.
Third year.
Third
year as a head coach, fifth year at East.
And Matt, I got to tell you, I enjoy myself. I help you guys out. It's so much fun. Yep. They have the best time. You got to go 1 year.
I saw the last year's flyer and the quad and all the things that are given out. It's an unbelievable show.
I think a Learjet this year they're donating, and then they'll be battling too. I hear $58,000, $59,000, and it's a great time.
Yeah, well, that's why we like having Pagmeter. He gets the crowd going, and
are you giving away the hunting dog? You've got the dog on yours.
We had the dog. The dog, unfortunately, we can't. We had to pull the dog out. Pull the dog off the.
That's against the CIF rules. You can't do that at a banquet.
We had to pull the dog.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, the dog went to a very good home. The dog's
beautiful dog. What a great picture! I was going to go just for that.
Well, that's the thing. We try to get cool new stuff to you know try to keep it fresh. So, and Pag does a great job. People know who he is, and I'm lucky enough to. I was in the early stages of the Pag meter. I think I hit a couple balls at. That's 327 on the Pag meter. I'm rounding the bases. I felt like it was 340 Pag, but all right.
I got to coach him when he was a little tater tot back in Buchanan. My first coaching, I was a BP guy out there. Yep. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, that
you
was
guys
great.
Were great.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Well,
was
as a Buchanan graduate and a great baseball player, athlete, quarterback, and all the things you accomplished in high school, what would be your general take, Tom Donald at Bullard coaching? What's your feeling?
Bullard's lucky.
Yeah, very lucky.
Yeah, I mean, it's. You got to kind of separate some of that stuff. The one thing about Tom, he always had great relationships with his players and that side of it. I got a lot of respect for Tom. He's somebody who I would call a baseball mentor. And I was texting Pag on the way here. I hit some traffic. It was 12:15. I'm like, oh man, here we go. I'm 15 minutes late, or 15 minutes early is 5 minutes late. That was something Tom was always. I mean, a lot of us talked about that.
That's what I was going to ask you, Coach. I'm always interested as an older guy now. The influences, the other coaches, the mentors that help shape who you are. What would be the one thing in the world of baseball, not necessarily academic piece or anything, but in the game of baseball that you took from Tom Donald?
Oh, man. There's only one speed to play the game.
One speed.
And that includes practice and game. It was always the league we play in. I mean, even now, there's no easy games.
Yeah.
And everything you do, we're 24 days away from game one. And our guys know it now. Hey, we're going to compete, and we've got some seniors coming back, and they know it's never easy. So your practices and your games got to look very similar. I coach them just as hard Monday at practice as I do Tuesday at the game or Wednesday. It doesn't matter.
Is Ryan Smith a player's coach, or are you more of a, I'll be your buddy off the field, but when it's time, I'll get in your face if I have to.
Yeah, I don't know. You'd have to ask the players about that, yeah. I don't consciously think about that. My thing is my number one thing is how can I make these guys better young men? I love to win games, but to me, winning should be a byproduct of the process you put your kids and your team through. So if we build skills and, obviously we got to know first and thirds, bunt these swings, all that good stuff. But as a high school kid, I remember something Tom was really good at was we felt like we were a part of something bigger. And I think at East, the cool challenge and the fun part about where we are is we've really, I feel like, turned a corner. This senior group we have this year is awesome. And I really feel like we've got a solid program being built now. Guys know what the standard is. They know what's expected. We don't have to coach little things anymore like being on time or tucking your shirt in. They just get now that has to be a part of it. And those are the things that will translate and transcend their high school playing careers. And I think that's how you build this program and make this thing really what it needs to be and what it can be, like a Buchanan or a Clovis High. Some of the programs have been established for a while.
We're talking with Ryan Smith from the Clovis East T-Wolves. Matt, am I wrong here? But used to have blue.
Well,
are we going green now?
You and I are just think alike on that when it comes to look.
I like it.
Your Rayburn, your kind of your green color scheme.
So our green, our colors are actually navy, hunter green, silver, and white.
Oh,
there it is. Yep. Navy green is just it's always kind of been a tough color to interject. So I decided to go for big air this year, and I just we're going green fleeces.
I like it.
And I don't know if you guys saw them last year. We went green jerseys.
Well, I'm hoping the Pagmeter gets one of those. I'll wear that next week on the show. That is cool.
Our team store is open online. Jim Rutherford takes care of that for us at Team Sports, Inc. They do a really good job. I'll get you one.
Yeah, I got to get one.
Yeah.
It's Saturday night. Now, is it almost sold out then? Can you still get a ticket?
It's close. Yeah, we got a few tables left. Right about this time is usually when it's a final push. So
I've never seen even the silent auction when you're walking around. I've never seen like it. The things they got going.
Yeah, this year for our live auction, we actually, I don't know how we got there. Well, we have a parent in the program who hooked us up, their brother-in-law or somebody they know. We have four tickets to the PGA Championship, all Ooh. Week access. That's
Matt.
Practice rounds.
Let's get that.
That's everything.
Yeah.
So that's four tickets. You get a ticket every day.
Where's the PGA this year?
It's at Hardy Park in San Francisco.
Oh.
So it's not a far trip from here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so get yourself a Verbo. And
you and I know that track very well.
Yeah.
Very demolished at Harding Park.
Yeah. I've never seen a real professional tournament. I'm sad.
Yeah.
I never have.
I'm going to be bidding through some people. I'm going to have some proxy bidding going on. I don't want anybody to know that I'm bidding on it, but I got a number in my mind.
Well, your dad alone, you can't compete with your wins. If his dad wants something, forget it. Get out of his way because it's over. Right?
Yeah. If he sees something he likes, he wants it.
Yeah, he wants
it. Coach, you have a seasoned veteran group, you say. You've got
time.
You really like this group.
I like your pitching, too.
Let's talk about some of the young ball players you have.
Well, I mean, this is something baseball-wise.
Or old, I should say, for high school age.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Baseball-wise, with Tom, it always started in the middle, and I never really understood what he meant. I get it now. You got to have a strong catcher, a strong middle infield, and a strong center fielder. If you have that, you're going to be pretty set up. So we got Josh Sue coming back from last year. He learned a lot. He's looking really well. He'll hit for us. And Justin Hinojosa, a guy, coach at Buchanan, is brought on as a catching coach. He's done some really solid work with him. Elias Martz.
Let's talk about catchers. So what makes a great, not just pro and all that, but in high school, what are the attributes you look for?
Non-baseball wise, they've got to be the guy that everybody looks to.
Yeah.
They're not, for me, a great catcher isn't necessarily a rah-rah, in-your-face kind of guy. They're a solid, constant force that people know when he's around, hey, I better get going. And that's, those are those intangibles you talk about in sports, and that kind of goes for every sport. But
Josh is that guy.
He's a really solid kid. He's well-respected. He's a guy you don't really have to worry about, and the kids know it. Tyler Parker's coming back on the mound. We invested some time and some money in a drive line, so we're doing plyos all fall, and every guy, their fastball has jumped anywhere from 6 to 8 miles an hour, so he's putting himself right in the mix. Added a curveball. We got Elias Mark coming back at short, one of the most solid defensive players I've seen in a while. A new guy, junior Blake Bolton, coming up, unproven but got some talent. He'll have to learn a little bit, but I think he'll be just fine. And then in center field, our little guy, A.J. Hodgerny, unfortunately had a pretty significant injury in football this year and had a pretty aggressive surgery. So we're hoping to get him back early, as early as we can. That's that fine line we got to walk as, coaches, is player safety versus, letting them play. And so, but with those guys, and then, we have so many seniors. Dom Jimenez, Elijah Acosta, Gino Helmuth. We have, 12. I'm leaving out a bunch, but.
And how about down, we're talking with Ryan Smith, Clovis East Baseball, all the way down from the Little League up. Mm-hmm. How's it looking down there in the farm system?
We're having a junior high camp all night this week, or three nights this week, 6 to 8. We've had about 45 kids. And there's a couple seventh graders that are my size. With all those new homes being built out there, I'm very, very happy with where I'm at. I think it actually reminds me a lot of Altus here in Buchanan when I was there. Peach orchards were all around. It was kind of on the rise. Yeah. All the homes are being built, and that's kind of what I'm seeing out of East. I'm hoping it's coming that way. I'm hedging my bet. I bought a house at Ashton and Leonard. I move in next month. So
beautiful.
I'm going to be there for a while.
So my wife, Lori, wants to know, do you have any vegan options for dinner?
Unfortunately, no outright vegan options, but we have rice pilaf, beans, and salad.
That's good.
It is.
Well, we'll bring her a sack lunch.
Yeah.
Beans are the protein.
I'll grill up some tofu. Everybody's on there. The January cleanse. My wife and I are doing it. Yeah, we should add a tofu option or something.
I'm the complete opposite. So
have you ever done a cleanse, Pagmeter? You've done one of the lemonade diet or any kind of cleanse?
I didn't eat one day until like 3 o'clock.
Okay. Intermittent fasting. Yeah.
How's that working for you? Yeah, you and your wife are doing that right now?
My wife is way – she's a nutrition major, so way into that. Yeah, she's off the charts smart with that kind of stuff. So, yeah, she drives the boat when it comes to nutrition in our house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Then Lori needs to hang out with your wife.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, well, Coach, we're talking finish, obviously, with the banquet and the pag meter, the MC of this great night. But Astros, Red Sox, this scandal thing, you kind of see it probably in a different eye. You played the game, and as a coach, what's your take?
I think I'm going to ride the fence post here and just say, hey, what you guys said earlier, I agree with everybody.
Yeah.
I saw that conversation.
I understand what you guys are saying, but yeah. I just don't think it's only the Red Sox and the Astros.
Yeah, I don't disagree that it's not a thing that's – I don't think it runs rampant, but trying to pick signs, I mean, that's part of the game.
Would you think, would you be okay if the Astros, there was a big blank mark to who were the World Series champions that year, or Red Sox?
Well, I mean, that's the real tough decision, right? Yeah. I mean, you can't guarantee that, you know, the Dodgers would have beat them, or, you know, they still maybe would have won.
I'm not talking about who's going to be the winner now, just declared that when you look at who was the champion of 2017, it's not,
but why did they even go through the ALCS? I mean, CC Sabathia said it the other day on a show. He felt cheated, you know, in his career that he had a chance to win it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, you know what's coming. It helps, but it doesn't guarantee you're going to
win. But if I'm a pitcher and I just threw my best pitch at 97 up and in and he still turned on it, that tells me, well, okay, they might know what's coming. I'm changing my signals.
Yeah.
It could happen one time. I'm not going to go 9 innings and go, boy, that was weird. Yeah. I threw my best stuff and they were still hitting me.
It was a guy from the White
Maybe
Sox.
Somebody was stealing signal. It would happen one pitch for me.
Well, I think it was the guy from the White Sox. I can't remember his name, but I think he was here in the trash can actually get hit. Okay. And he picked up on it. So that's something as a coach I try to stay in the game. I remember I was coaching freshman at Buchanan. I was by myself, and I realized after about 3 pitches into the game, Jack Wheelis, who used to play, unfortunately.
Yeah, Wheelis.
He had a big accident. He was
big
a,
accident,
that,
yes.
Like, he was one of the most fun kids I've ever coached. Yeah. He was such a different kid, but, man, he was fun. I realized, like, man, these guys are way too tuned into his curveball for freshmen. And Jack was 83, 84 as a freshman. I realized their whole dugout, as I was giving signs to Carter Gambrell, they're going first name, last name. So then we're hiding it very well. So I called time. I went out to the mound. I told Carter, I said, hey, we're going to flip our signs.
Thank you.
So they went fastball. They yelled first name for fastball. I called a breaking pitch. The guy swung at it, missed completely. Their dugout was silent the rest of the game.
Thank you. That's how you handle it.
That's fine. Except Nimrod, they just got 2 off of us. It's too late now. I'm changing now, but I hope I get those 2 runs back.
I think the biggest problem that people have with the Astros, the way they're doing it, is they weren't tipping their hand. If they're using a camera, you can't tell that. Now, if you hear the trash can, you can hear it. But if you don't, you know, there's just a lot of things that are messy about this. And, you know, the unwritten rules in baseball, Mike Fiers blowing the top on it. Yeah. I heard your point earlier. Yeah. He gets blown up, and he knows what they're doing. You know, guys are fighting for their lives and their careers. And
he's pulling a Jose Canseco right now on the steroid issue. Let's take a break. Yeah. Ryan Smith here. We're talking baseball. Take your phone calls as well if you have any calls for us. 844-940-ESPN. We'll be right back. This is the Rice Show. Here comes Chazere, has the ball in. At the buzzer, he throws up a shot. It's gone! And we're tied! 76 all. Chazere flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Chazere goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
Welcome back. We are live here at Fashion Furniture. It's your Rye Show for your Thursday. Tony D coming up next. This is Fashion Furniture's clearance sale, guys. It's Matt Johnson, Ryan Smith here from Clovis East. The clearance sale is going And I don't know about you guys, but this place is huge, and you can walk forever, Smitty. Unique furniture, this is where you go.
I just bought a couch. It's being delivered for our new house on the 26th of February.
There right you go.
On. Yep.
Yeah.
Are you a sectional guy or a love seat and sofa?
Yeah, I kind of. It's kind of changed. I'm a sectional guy at this
sectional
point.
Sectional guy,
yeah.
I like the My wife doesn't like. I like the sectional.
Yep.
Just one big giant bed in your family room.
And I'm gonna guess that Smitty didn't pick it up. This is a wife. You have no say-so in the house.
It was a joint decision.
Really? I have no say-so in my house.
I like the shape. She liked the fabric, so we kind of compromised.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what I like. I have no say-so in the house. And
yeah.
I know going in. That's my – it's you know, yeah. Yeah, so, right? Ryan Smith from Clovis East Baseball. We're talking – okay, before – I don't want to forget this, but the big dinner Saturday, how do they get tickets? People are emailing me.
So, yeah, email me, ryansmith@cusd.com. And the doors open at 5:15, a little pregame hour, dinner served at 6:20, and then we're off and running. That's where you take over. And it's at the rodeo grounds out in Clovis, lots of parking. So it's usually a pretty good time.
Matt, you know what I like about it? And I don't know about this year. Maybe you're not doing it, but the players are greeting everyone at the door.
Oh, yeah.
Great call.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it's important for – I mean, we're asking you to spend a lot of money. You know, it costs a lot of money. It cost us, I think, $6,500 just to buy baseballs this year.
Jeez.
So, I mean, I've spent – you know, close to $30,000 already on equipment, helmets, just stuff we need.
Yeah.
So I've got to make it all back. So I think it's important for our community to see, you know, these are the players that you're helping. And it's also important for the players to say thank you to the people that are coming, spending time out of their day and spending their money with us. Cause without them, we don't get what we have.
I would guess.
I think it, not only is it smart, I think it's pretty much the only way to go.
No.
Especially in the world of what coach is involved in with the, like you said, the expense of all these different items you have to deal with. But it puts a tangible asset in front of people to realize we're doing it for these young men and other sports, young ladies, whatever it might be, who you're doing it for.
Well, I'm building a house in the area. You know, I want people to understand that this is not something that's going to come and go. This, for me, was it. This was my goal, to teach seniors and coach baseball at a Clovis school. So I've got it. So you know, for me, as much as it is for the players building up young men, I want the community to see I'm going to ask you for help, but at the same time, we want to be there for you, too. So,
how's the stadium looking out there? You got one of the best in the state.
Yeah, well, I mean, all of us. I mean, the city of Clovis, man, we're lucky. We are blessed in a big way.
Any new things going on?
Nothing major. Yeah. My first year, Coach Cunningham and I and a few players, we put up the new windscreen, and that's something I don't ever want to do again. Yeah, that was fun. The fence capping, oh, man. But we're looking good. We built a couple plyo boxes in the bullpens, and we flipped bullpens. We added some lights in the cages, so we're getting some stuff done.
I like it. We're talking Ryan Smith, Clovis East Baseball. If you have any questions on baseball, 844-940-ESPN is our number. Matt Johnson and Pag Meter and Ryan Smith. Baseball's here.
And it's here.
Now, have you already had your dead time, all that stuff, which is I don't get anyway. But
yeah, it's a bad – I mean, if they want to have a meaningful dead period, it needs to be in a different time frame.
How about just start before the year? We're going to start on January the 6th, and before that, you can't do anything.
So, yeah, this year they moved it up. I think it was January 2nd to January 13th. Yeah, that's where guys are, you know, pitchers especially, they're trying to get their arms in shape. Bump it up a couple of weeks, make it December. I mean, take the whole month of December, half the month of December. I don't know why they have those, but – if it's for player safety, great.
Well, I think they do it because some schools get a big head start over other schools or try to make it even. Makes no sense to me. Then, you know, get out there.
No.
Rain hits today, some point, somewhere.
Yeah.
Where do you go as a baseball team? What do you do when the rains come?
Well, right now we had our guys go out. It's I guarantee you Coach Cunningham's got our pitchers ready, and we're going live at-bats while we can. We had the tarp on last night. We peeled it back today. We're going to get done what we can get done. We work with other sports, trying to get to the gym or wherever else. The main thing is to play catch with our pitchers.
Yeah.
And if we can, we try to get over to Kappa, but that's always a fight out in Clovis. You know, try to get those cages for an hour or so we get some live ABs or you know some BP in there. You got to just kind of do what you got to do. A lot of times, if it's not lightning, we're pulling out devil balls and we're hitting in the cages wet, man. I mean, you got to do what you got
to
do.
Introduce us, coach, to your coaching staff.
So Sean Cunningham is my associate head coach. He's my pitching coordinator for the whole program. He does a phenomenal job. Without him, I couldn't run anything. Dallas Kawakami does our infielders and works with our hitters, coaches third. Seth Batty, I moved up from JV this past year.
Seth, baseball Batty.
Yeah. Seth there Batty, yeah.
One of your guys back.
Yeah. Oh, he's awesome. Yeah, oh, he's awesome. Yeah. He's Joe Camp reincarnated. Joe Camp's one of my favorite coaches of all time, and Seth is right along those lines, man. So he'll coach first for us. We got Robert Katayama, kind of director of scouting and just does kind of general stuff around the yard, and then I kind of do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I do the hitting mostly and a little outfield stuff. Now it's the benefit of having Seth up. Then our JV staff, I just hired Aaron Arruda, former Buchanan guy, coaches a freshman, and Justin Hinojosa. So that's the other part. You're building this program. I got two solid, solid guys who are great ball players, number one, and then number two, just great people. So to have them around the program, to have them around our kids, to run our JV team is going to be huge, huge for us this year. And then our freshman staff will have Andrew Rodriguez. He's a former Clovis East grad, 2016 maybe.
Youngster.
Yeah, so I'll have him and Scott Jarvis. So Scott Jarvis, he also announces for us as well. He coaches. He's jack of all trades, man. That guy's always at the school helping people out. He's an awesome dude.
And I would guess with Ryan Smith from Clovis East here, you're a multi-sport coach. You like guys playing other sports.
I'm all for it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Play. Have fun. Do stuff.
Yeah. Because I've never been a fall guy, but I think everyone else that plays fall ball, you got to have fall ball.
Yeah, you got to do fall ball. And you miss out on, you can look at it one of two ways. I don't have my guys. It's not worth it. You know, we look at it as, hey, I can spend a lot of time with my freshman, sophomore, and I even had the 7th and 8th graders out this year. Our 7th and 8th grade class are looking pretty good.
But how about pitching, though? Do you want how many innings are they throwing during the fall?
That's so we don't play any fall games.
Okay.
Yeah, we went all in on this driveline program, so we're doing plyos, we're lifting. The average weight gain for most of our guys is between 10 and 12
pounds.
Explain
to people what that means to everybody.
Oh, so the plyo stuff is it's weighted balls. You throw it a big rubber mat, and Kyle Boddy really kind of got it going in driveline baseball. They're all over Twitter. The major thing is injury prevention and stamina. And then if you can – You can add some velo. Because our guys are so young and they're developing, this has been huge. I mean, we have seen unbelievable gains. And the best part so far is we've had limited arm injury and arm soreness, which for us is number one. If you're hurt or injured or kind of sore, you can't perform like you need to. So that's why we went all in on it, and it's paid off big time.
Well, let's keep it going out there. Yeah. Clovis East baseball, first game, is it the Clovis tournament?
Our first game is February 8th at Selma, and then we start the Coat Classic the following Tuesday.
So the first, is that a real game, or is that like an
That's
umpire?
A real game. Oh, okay. Yeah. Our first scrimmage is February 4th against Coach Pappy and the Fresno High Warriors.
You know, there's so many good baseball coaches around here.
Oh, man.
Programs, and it's a lot. We're in the baseball heaven of the state, really.
Oh, man. I mean, my first year when I got this job, I remember sitting with my dad and my brother going, I can't believe I'm a head coach with – I mean, at the time it was Tom,
James
Patrick. I mean, all the Kevin's been at Clovis West for 15 years. Thorny was out at Bullard. I mean, these guys were established dudes who we all played against and wanted to be like. Not to mention, now I'm coaching against you. It was insane. I remember the first time I went to Bullard and Thorny shook my hand. As a player, I'm like, dude, that guy's terrifying. And now we're exchanging lineups.
It's
a surreal experience, man. The baseball in the Valley is second to none.
So it's your third year. How much have you learned already from day one to now?
I was actually thinking about it the other day. It's drinking from a fire hose the first year for sure. And then as you kind of get in the rhythm and groove of things, it takes a while. But once you get it and you get – the key is having quality people around you. You know, like I said, without our assistant coaches and our staff, there's no way this program is what it is. You know, there's no way I do it on my own. It's impossible.
What's the coach is picking off signals on the other teams? Come on, we're all doing it. Let's go.
That's you. He hired you. Yeah. Consulting. You can go hang out.
Matter of fact, we have a parent out in center field. Oh, if you see that flash, don't worry about it. It's just part of what we do at Clovis East Stadium.
It's all about winning. If you ain't trying, you're not trying.
Billy Martin. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
That's right. I mean, am I wrong, Matt?
No, you're right.
High school football, what are you doing? If you know – the play's coming. Isn't that an advantage right there?
Absolutely. Yeah. I start bringing in satellite technology and things. And
get the drone going.
Yeah, the drone, then I've gone too far.
Yep.
Although we had a drone hovering over our practice field quite a bit, and we never figured out where it was from. And I'll never forget, my athletic director brought me in one day and said, look what we found on the ground. And it was blasted apart like a 12-gauge or a 20-gauge shotgun had hit it.
Wow.
And I have no idea, but it was literally blown apart. So somebody caught wind of that drone. I don't know who it was.
Yeah, I like to think in the high school game we're immune from a lot of that. At least that's what I'm going to believe.
You guys are children.
That is what I would hope so.
I've seen it in Little League.
I would hope so.
If they can figure out signals in the other team, because usually I see where the catcher will be the first one. Yeah. The legs are wide apart, and you get one fast, two, and you already know what's coming. It helps. But if that's the case, he's not getting coached up. Whose fault is it?
Yeah. That's yours.
Exactly. Yep. Coach them up, change it up, and that's what I'm trying to tell the baseball world.
Here's what we do. I just have our pitchers throw whatever they want, and the catcher's got to guess.
There you go.
Yeah, there are no – how about that,
yeah,
though?
No
there is no signal.
Have fun.
It's your game. Do whatever you want.
All it takes –
of course, the catcher, yeah, how hard is that? Is he pretty hard?
All it takes, if I'm a hitter and Smitty's telling me it's a fastball from whatever he's doing, if he's coughs twice and he's wrong once, done.
Yeah.
I don't want to know anymore.
I never liked it as a hitter. That's why, you know, picking signs is one thing. But, you know, we really, I mean, we try to teach our hitters how to hit. You know, if you have the sign or if you don't, you still need to be able to hit.
You know what drives me nuts, Smitty, and I watch a lot of baseball, the called thirds I see out there. Does it kill you as a coach? Called third strike, and he walks like it's no big deal. Because I played for not Mike Noakes.
Yeah.
And if you got the called third, you get the finger, come here.
Yeah.
And you never did it again.
Yeah.
He scared the living hell out of you.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, coaching at a different time and kids are different. And yeah, I mean, it's a part of the game. You want to limit it for sure.
Are they choking up, putting the ball in play anymore? Is that a dinosaur?
No, that's definitely still part of it.
Okay, good.
That's definitely still part
of it. Thank you. Because I was getting worried because I still don't understand. He just took a called third, and it's not a big deal. He's walking the dugout like nothing.
Yeah, we have a round of BP. It's a two-strike round where we actually try to get them out.
Okay.
So they learn how to be tough and battle up and – yeah, we try to teach different approaches, different counts. You got different stuff going on.
Do not keep it up to the umpire,
if you can help it, no. But they're still going to be back. I mean, it's all part of the game.
Yeah, I know. Well, Ryan, I'm excited for Saturday night. At 5:15, it starts at the Rodeo Grounds in Clovis.
Yes, sir. Yep.
It will be sold out, so if you want to get your ticket. And this is a fun time because you got a really, really fun group.
Yeah, it's a good time. We try to get our auction and stuff done by 9 because it's 2 hours of solid dance, and parents are walking out of there like it's a – you know, prom night. They're dripping sweat, and they're, you know, usually have a lot of fun.
Great food.
Yeah. Grill Masters, thanks to them for grilled brisket and chicken, rice, pilaf, beans, salad. I mean, the whole deal. Yeah, it's quite a spread.
One word.
It's giddy up.
Giddy up. You got to get there. Clovis East Baseball, Saturday night. I'll have it on my Twitter. I'll see you Saturday night. But, Smitty, thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, Clovis East Baseball, Ryan Smith, one of the good guys out there. We'll take a break, come back. Coaching changes going on in high school football. And take your phone calls if you have any, 844-940-ESPN. It's the Pag Meter, Matty J. We'll be right back.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Colliers International, Fashion Furniture across from River Park, Emmanuel Schools, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. It's the Fashion Furniture Rise Show for your Thursday. Thanks for being with us tomorrow night. Matt and I will have the call at Clovis West, Clovis East versus Clovis West. It should be a good one. Clovis East, Clovis West, and Clovis North, I think if you played, they'd probably beat each other 50-50. It's going to be good.
Yes, and you saw that in the last basketball game. Clovis East went to overtime with Clovis North. Clovis North, we know, is outstanding. By the way, what a great administration. What a great setting they have at Clovis North. Love the staff at Clovis North.
4,000 people.
Yeah, love the staff at Clovis North, and that we set up that television thing, how accommodating they were. Love what they're doing over in Bronco Land. Keep up the good work, Clovis North. And then, of course, Clovis East came in, and they played after the Clovis West game, which was another outstanding affair.
Went overtime.
So that goes to show you, I got to give a little love, more than we do always, to Adrian Wiggins and Clovis East basketball. Clearly, he's got a program going on over there because you always discount them when we don't talk about the T-Wolves as much as we should. But he's got a heck of a program, and he's a heck of a coach and a great group of assistants at Clovis East.
Yeah, one of the top three players, I think, Mr. Pittman out there. He's – and people won't remember him, and I'll say it a million times tomorrow night. Adrian – I'm sorry, Dantley.
Yeah. Adrian Dantley, 6'4", Notre Damer, played for the Mavericks.
But Pittman reminds me of him. He likes to drive because he's very strong inside, and then if you double-team him, he's dishing it off. So he is so smart to get rid of the ball if he sees a double team coming. He's very, very good. I would put, you know, him, Cole, and Terry Miller, to me, the three top right now that I've seen in this area. That's pretty good little company.
Yeah, there's not one baller, in my opinion, that stands out where you're having visions of, dude, that's the next NBA superstar that we're looking at right here. But high-caliber Division I type talent, those are three names definitely that I would put right there.
Yeah, Clovis East had some issues slowing down Big Terry inside the other night, and Terry just got tired. You can tell he just got a little tired, but Clovis East is very smart. It went overtime, and then Clovis North wore him down in half. And They went on a – just like Clovis West did to Clovis North. They just wore them down like a 9-0 run and beat them. But it's we'll have the game tomorrow night after the zone show. We'll be right here.
Yeah, you're going to have the game. I don't know if I'm ever going to – I don't know. I'm going to have to take a week off from the my best friend, the bag meter. I can't hang out with you.
I'm going to tell you right
now.
Our
viewpoints are so, at times, directly opposite that I'm beginning to question my – I'm beginning to question our relationship. I really am.
Are we breaking up?
No, we're not going to break up, but as all great couples in life, we might have to have a separation.
But I want you to jump on the pack meter bandwagon.
I'm on the bandwagon at times.
I would say 6 months later, you always go, you know what, pack meter, you were right on that one.
Yeah, I am definitely on your wavelength most of the time.
You didn't believe the ball pointing down in football, and you're finally realizing the quarterback's got it down, right? You got that down. Come on, that's one of them.
That's one of them.
Yeah,
definitely.
I can go on and the track. The little guy with the red, the big guy with the red
that
with
was
the
your,
white hat.
That
on.
Was your theory. I bought into the guy in the red sport jacket.
All I'm saying is
different.
Every sport, they're trying to cheat any way they can. And if it's electronic, if there's a TV in center field and they can get a TV in the clubhouse, relaying it to the guy, that's cheating. Yeah, but they're getting away with it.
Cheating is a bad word. I think everybody in sports and competition, if you will, is trying to get an edge up on the other guy. We know the edge factor, you know. Al Pacino said in the movie, the football movie, On Any Given Sunday or whatever it was called, that we fight for those inches. It's the inches that make, you know, the difference. And the inches, whether what sport you're talking about, it makes a difference. I just believe in fair punishment. Clearly, the linebacker for Clemson, who lowered his head, clearly threw an illegal hit on the receiver over the middle of the field, he deserves fair punishment. And fair punishment is not only throwing a 15-yarder on the play, not only ejecting, but you got to escort him out of the stadium. That, to me, is not fair to a guy trying to make a play in a game of that magnitude. Just like the guy that goes and trains down in Paris, California, down in Southern California, and travels all the way up to Buchanan High School for the state meet. His whole life since he was a seventh grader was built around this idea that he would train and prepare himself for the ultimate goal, winning a state medal in the track and field championships for the state of California. He gets up there and he gets one shot. He flinches in the blocks. They shoot the starter gun off twice. Some man in a red jacket comes up with not even a smile and flashes the red card in his face.
Get out of here!
And says, you're done? That, to me, we're still in high school now. The guy prepared his whole – we're not talking – it's tough enough for the Olympic athlete that loses that opportunity. That's tragedy. But for the high school kid, I think that's a little harsh. That's my take, and that's why I'm so adamant about any of this baseball nonsense. Take away their title. What are we waiting for?
Pitcher and offensive lineman, false start. You are out of here. Get off the field now.
By the way, that's the officiating thing, because there was a few dandy calls in the last few games for this national championship. We still haven't
The pass interference one?
The pass interference is where I was going. We still haven't figured out what's right, what's wrong. If it's touchy, too much, little ticky-tacky, we can call it. We can always call it, but yet we don't always call it. It's the toughest call in football, I guarantee, is the pass interference call. Toughest.
So if you look at the NFL, NBA, you get a technical in the NBA, you get two technicals, you're kicked out of the game. Same thing with the NFL. Why can't they do that in college football?
Yeah. You're singing to the choir. I have no idea.
Instead of kick him out and, hey, Gary, get your security guards and rush him off the field.
Because what you're saying is, to the general public, to the people that are really in the know, they know the rules, they know the thing. What you're telling a general mom or dad or young kid at home, did he pull a gun? You put this penalty on this kid like it's the worst thing ever. Like, as you said, he sat around at the break between the next time he has to take the field. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. On the third play, if that guy comes across on me again, I'm going to spear him with the top of my forehead, and I hope he'll break his neck. That's about what they're telling you they're thinking. And that's not what they're thinking. They're thinking about bang, bang, got to make a play, get the man down. That's my job.
Then how about two plays later, the receiver high over the arms and they spear him in the back? Sooner or later, he's going to get kicked out of the game.
Yeah, that one was definitely late. And it looked to me like he had enough time to lay off
the hit, which that's a good point.
And then next, sooner or later, it's roughing the quarterback. He's been ejected. He's out of the game. It's going to come.
It's clear to ridiculous. Me that the most talented football team in the last decade to two decades has been the LSU Bengal Tigers. They just never had a quarterback. The talent pool that was coming out of Louisiana State University, Baton Rouge, my mother's town, that group is more talented than Alabama. It's just that Alabama didn't start winning until they got quarterbacks. Finally, LSU got a quarterback, which is going to really be interesting to see with Joe Burrow leaving. By the way, he's pretty damn good. He's good.
He got the same form as Tom Brady. Watch him throw.
He's legit. I'm taking him over Tua. That's a different topic. But it's obvious LSU finally got a trigger guy that can make things work. They can talk all they want about, oh, we got the coordinator. We got Barry, this wonder worker of all time, and he's now going to make it. Nah, you got a quarterback at LSU, a guy who can make plays. Game, set, match. LSU has quarterbacks because every year they recruit. They don't get the awards all the time as the number one recruiting team. But if you noticed now with Ed Ogeron, who is the number one college recruiter in America, he always has been. Everybody knows that. Ed Ogeron there, as long as he's there, expect big things out of LSU.
Yeah, but USC didn't want him, I guess.
No, we'd rather stick around with Steve Sarkisian. We wouldn't want to keep the number one recruiter in college there, no.
Okay, you and I have always talked about Fresno State, and we have three of the best well-known superstars of the game. We want giant posters of Paul George.
Yeah, the banner Judge. Ads on the freeways, 99 and everywhere.
Okay, but we have to have a change in one because I think Derek Carr is not the elite quarterback anymore. You got to put Davante Adams in there now. So you got Devontae, Paul George, and Aaron Judge. Those three are the names of USC right now. Devontae Adams is the best receiver right now.
Well, their names are Fresno State. They are clearly, you're right. Davante Adams has replaced our football icon, Derek Carr.
I hate to say it. I love Derek to death, but he's not the elite quarterback. He's just not.
I don't care what you say. I'm going to fight you on this one, too. I don't think he's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not on the Mount Rushmore of the new age quarterback that Lamar, Patrick, Russell Wilson, still young enough. Yes. No, he's not on that deal. But I don't know what exactly kind of offense they're trying, what their goal is with John Gruden. But this dink and dunk stuff, I've always thought that Derek had a very live, good arm, but they don't utilize him. And the fact that probably the worst, most embarrassing athletic moment I've had in my lifetime is witnessing Antonio Brown on his little tirade. Losing Antonio Brown to the Raiders, I think that would have been a huge difference maker that would have made Derek Carr probably look a lot better than what it turned out to be. So I'm not ready to throw. But clearly, Devontae, if you're taking three, Judge, George, and now Adams.
All in one school.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Why not make four, though? Why not continue to keep Derek Carr? Because he's still doing it. He's still slinging it.
Well, I'm just letting you know. Football, baseball, basketball.
I'm going back to Henry Ellard. I'm putting up Lorenzo Neal. I'm putting up Trent Dilfer. I'm throwing up a variety pack of unbelievable talented athletes. We're not even talking about the female athletes, Ruth Lawinson and the greats that have come through Fresno State. So I would do more than just this three you're talking about. I'd make about 10.
Well, Amanda Scott made softball.
Amanda Scott, maybe a picture of Margie Wright, maybe Coach Sweeney, Coach Pat Hill. Let's put some.
Justin Wilson's got to be on there.
Justin Wilson.
Yeah. He's still playing, by the way.
And how about JT Arruda? How about Paul Leffler? Let's put Paul Leffler. A sign for Paul Leffler.
He should. To me, he's the voice of the Dogs.
He's a national icon, yeah. So he deserves that. So, yeah, let's get off just those three. Let's put about 15 faces up there, including Chris Pacheco, because he brought Fresno State to the party here on this station, and he contributed as a nose tackle, one of the great ones at Fresno State. Let's tell the story up and down the 99 corridor, the ugliest stretch of freeway in the history.
Well, I don't want to put anything on 99 because you brought up a point that when Pat Hill was here, the recruits never went down 99. And that's a great move because 99 is pure ugly.
I mean, we
have one of the ugliest 99 or freeways through our town ever. So they go to 41?
I read that.
To 12?
When Pat Hill's era, the recruits that came from the Bay Area, San Jose, and that area, and the recruits that came from Sacramento, Stockton, north of us, so west and north of us, they were asked to get find their way to the 99 freeway up north, and when you hit Avenue 12, take that east across and come up 41 into River Park and these high mid-rise skyscrapers with all mirrored glass and the palm trees and manicured lawns everywhere. That's the way he would bring the families and the recruits in so they could get this idea that this might be this hidden secret of California. It's the most beautiful stretch of road ever.
Look at the mountains.
You wouldn't want to divert them all the way down, come into my vision of through Los Banos, over 99, and come all the way down 99 south to Herndon. Once you get into that area, you start realizing,
uh-oh.
Now with this mosaic of graffiti on this concrete jungle that we started with this high-speed rail debacle, it's turned into just an eyesore. I can't stand it.
Yeah, so 99's not really attractive, you're saying.
No, okay. Any thoughts? Do you have any thoughts whatsoever on anyone other than Clovis North, Clovis West, and I like Clovis East, basketball, we're talking boys game. Is there anyone else out there that's going to make a run at this?
Yeah, St. Joseph is
good. St. Joseph.
So Pagmeter is having my tournament on January 25th, and they will be at Fresno Christian Gym, so they're coming to town, so I get to watch them. Arroyo Grande is really good.
Okay.
We got some teams. Edison's making a push.
Yeah.
Now, Justin Parks, the Bullard Knight, 6'7" star, has transferred to Fresno High. I don't know how that happens. I don't know if he's eligible yet, but he has left
the
building.
Yeah, he's not eligible yet. They're working on that.
How do they work on that?
Well,
how does that work?
You have to appeal and fight for your what you think is right, and I don't think it's going to work, but who knows?
Didn't it happen last year with Clovis West?
But isn't he a senior?
He's a senior, so he's down
there. So you leave, and by rule, when could he be activated?
Oh, no.
You would have that hard of a time at a school that you
didn't happen last year at Clovis West? Who was the kid he was at Memorial? He went to
not Preston Kilbert.
No.
No, the guard that went ended up at Bullard.
Went to Vegas for a couple weeks, didn't like it, came back to Bullard.
That's a move.
Wasn't going to be eligible, and then he went to to Clovis West. Vance said, no, you're not going to fit in here, and then he went across town to Bullard. Bullard goes, you'll be eligible. We'll figure you out.
It was legal.
How?
Address. He's not coming.
He still lived in Clovis West area. How did that work?
We don't know that. Okay. We don't know that. He was eligible because Jim Critchlow and Brandon Gilbert and they all got it right. It was right.
Okay.
Yeah, you want to come up with, once again, you're like the conspiracy theorist. You know, you don't sometimes deal in facts. You like to just throw something out there
We got some high school football coaching changes right now.
Yes.
These are the schools that need a coach.
Yep.
Kerman Lions. Coach Stephen Hurd is out. I don't know what happened. He's out.
Great program. Shocking.
Yeah. Still looking for an Edison coach. Have not heard if Corey Hall is going to be the guy. What's the latest? Anybody know?
I don't know the latest, but I know Corey Hall comes into a world where he's not going to accept the SRC job or sitting in an office. He's got to have a job, I would think. So maybe that's the holdup. Who knows?
Delano, after that debacle last year in the fighting, they got rid of their coach, and so they're going to need a coach in Delano. Hanford West has been struggling for years. Ever since Sierra Pacific came in, a lot of people are going to that school and staying at Hanford, so Hanford West is struggling. Yosemite coach Chance Segala has left. His dad died during Christmas, so the commute living here in Clovis and going to Yosemite was too much, so he really liked
that coach. Great.
He wants to coach again. He wants to coach in the area.
Okay, great football coach. Yeah. Tell him to give me a call. I'll call him. I mean, great coach.
Yeah.
Good man. I like him.
6'5", maybe 6'6". He's a big boy.
Yeah.
Lindsay, the Cardinals need a coach. Coach Mendaca, who was the coach of the year in the league, EC Sequoia. From Lindsay is not coming back, so Lindsay needs a new coach. And the Minarets Mustangs, Coach Becker Marr is not coming back,
so he's looking for a job. I like Becker Marr. I like all those coaches you named. By the way, hey, things are obviously looking a little bit better. That's not a very large list.
Last two years, we had 48 openings in 2 years, 18 and 19.
Yeah.
2018, 2019, we had 48 jobs, which is a record.
Football's getting a lot better. Interesting statistical information. Youth football numbers for football, as you know, are always a little bit declined. But we're talking 3.5% to 4% decline, okay? The number one declining youth sport in America, are you ready for this?
Don't say soccer.
Soccer.
Wow.
They've stopped going out for soccer.
Bobby, what's the story?
And no one can figure it out other than the fact of this club sensational thing, which costs lots of money, that the socioeconomics and the economics of this soccer thing, the youth numbers are down double more than football. There's something.
When you say it, when you're talking the little league soccer,
I'm talking youth,
or high school
youth,
soccer.
I'm talking youth sports. Mm. From that 8-year-old to about 14-year-old, I believe the study was. And it's been several reports that have come out. Football has been in a slight decline. That's been that way since 2012.
Maybe.
Excuse me. But soccer, you never think, you would think that's the fastest growing. It's not the, you know what the fastest growing sport?
I'll tell you what it is. It's video games.
Well, we don't count that as
well,
a sport.
Well, I am.
No,
because
we don't, that's not. Video games, no. Okay,
fair. It's going to be a sport in high school.
It's considered, yes. You can get a scholarship, actually. Arizona State's given scholarships for gaming. But no.
So take it back.
I'm talking sports.
Take it back.
And I don't think video game is the fastest growing sport, because this one I know is growing. Lacrosse. Lacrosse is 14%, big time numbers up.
Where?
All over.
Because we only have it in Fresno Unified for the girls.
All over America, lacrosse is in a growth.
I wonder if a track will get into lacrosse.
I got
someday.
A few more for you though.
Okay.
Rugby.
Rugby's
rugby
been up.
Rugby is going up in this country.
We need to do more rugby stories.
I've got another one for you. We never talk about. Yeah. I thought we were going to have the man on himself, the best coach maybe
tomorrow
in all of wrestling.
Coach Keesaw.
Okay, Coach Keesaw, Fresno City College wrestling coach. Wrestling, youth wrestling numbers are up.
We'll ask Coach tomorrow.
Youth wrestling is
up. We're going to have Oliver Jamon tomorrow, and we're going to have Coach Paul Keesaw.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're any good at Fresno City College.
Well, three-time state champs. They've won 17 titles in the career. He's coach of the year and assistant coach of the year. The two coaches are head coach, coach of the year, assistant coach of the year, and they've done this multiple times. City called, run the state championship again in overwhelming numbers. Isn't that amazing?
I asked him, I helped out with the Fresno City baseball dinner, and he was there.
Yeah.
Did you ever think about maybe applying for Fresno City? He goes, I would never. I like where I'm at right now. I've got the best talent coming in. We build an empire. People don't realize what Fresno City wrestling is like over there. They're really like Clovis.
Fresno City wrestling is akin to, in the world of NCAA Division I, it's a Penn State. It's a Iowa, bigger than that.
Yeah.
I mean, Fresno City College Wrestling is number one. I would shout out to Augie Garcia, coached him at Madera South. He was a state champion last year, runner-up this year, but they've got a lot of state champions. Team championships, as I said, 17 in their history. If you've won 17, basically those are national championships, you've arrived.
Yeah. Oliver Jamon is a state champion and national champ a couple years ago. And
I love wrestling.
Well, that's so I'm talking women's soccer now. Oliver Jamon for women's soccer.
I know, but I love wrestling.
I know you do.
I love wrestling.
Well, you'll be on tomorrow on the zone, so we'll talk to Coach Paul Keesaw. What a great guy. He loves our show.
Looks like
he listens all week.
He's a big man.
He's a strong guy.
He looks like a big dude. I've met him once, but in the picture, the team photo for the program, he looks like a very
well. We got to give him more love, and I told Fresno City we will give Oliver and Eric, of course, and baseball and Tony. It's hard. We can't get Tony C ever on the show. He big leagues us. We can't get him over here. We always have to call in, but these guys like to come to the show, so. Tony's just a big leagues people. You know, that's what he does over there. But coaching now, these teams got to start getting a coach. It's spring ball coming up.
Oh, it's not coming up yet, but yeah, I give – you'd like to – in the world of high school football, you'd like to have your coach in place because I'm assuming that most of the quality programs – I used to be part of one that didn't offer this extensive morning PE and all that. They do now.
Rhymes with medicine.
Yeah, but the real programs that are really trying to make a stand – you've already got PE teachers and other people on campus that are training, your base training work, your winter workouts, if you will, are going on. So they're probably not missing out on that. But as you roll into the end of February, getting to March, you better have a coach in place.
Well, we just talked with Ryan Smith at Clovis East, and he mentioned all his coaches from sophomore down to freshman and the varsity. You still got to get a coaching staff. That's not easy anymore.
No, none of that. None of it. None of it's easy. But –
I mean, you can get coaches, but can you get coaches? You know what I'm
saying?
Well,
you don't. But the thing is, the one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to, and I believe, don't rush anything. If you're really doing it the right way, you're not trying to do an impeachment in 3 weeks. You're trying to do a long-term long process that holds true. And since your coach is no longer there, why would anybody feel like in 30 days they got to get out and find the right guy that's going to last for the next 10-year cycle?
Well, my advice,
you've got to take your time and make sure you get the right, because maybe you take your lumps in that first year, but if you're true about building a program, make sure you have the right person in place.
Well, my advice to all the administrations out there is to take care of the football coach, because there's two on that list I just mentioned that did not take care of their football coach, and kids are transferring out. It's worse. Forget about wins and losses. If you're losing players in your system, that is worse than anything. And we know one team from Fresno High last year lost everybody. How'd that work out?
Yeah, not good.
No.
It's never good to lose the core of your solid ball player.
So my Pag Meter All-Star team is coming out. I always do it the day before the Super Bowl. And I'm looking already to 2000. People want, Pag Meter, what's the 2020 looks like? Well, your favorite is Central again. They might win by default in the track right now, because the track's going to be really even all the way through the board. Can anyone beat Central again?
No.
Maybe Clovis North?
No. The only thing that's going to slow the Central machine down, one, obviously, is the natural, inevitable growth. No, the growth. The new high school opens, and they start losing some kids to other schools. You got to put someone in place at Edison High School that can commandeer the fascination of being part of Edison, whatever it might be, and garner that student-athlete to believe in that place as opposed to wanting to jump ship. And that does not mean that everyone at program A, B, or C in that triangle all belong at that school by geographic region, because Edison's got plenty of their transfers and all that have come through. But that's the only thing that's going to slow Central down, is there has to be someone that can match toe-to-toe the talent that they have. And until, as an example, Buchanan just lost a guy to the University of Georgia, 5-star. Could have called him a 6-star, if you will. I mean, it's just – and they couldn't get it done over Central. There's not a coaching philosophy, because everyone's got a good coach for the most part. Everyone has a philosophy, a culture they're trying to build. Somebody out there has talent beyond everyone else's talent. That's the school that wins, period. Basketball, you can offset a little bit of talent. Vance Wahlberg might not have the most talented basketball team, but his relentless style seems to me, because we've seen two games where they were cooked, done, finished. Clovis North cleaned them in that first. To me, it was a lopsided affair. Clovis
16-4.
Clovis North's going to win another one. San Joaquin Memorial played 10-0. Clovis West, and I said, this is over. I mean, they got down by like 20.
It was 10-0 to start the game.
But they were down by 20 at some point, and they come roaring back. So clearly they have talent, but they have something else in that team, that chemistry and that coach, Bill Wahlberg's style, whatever it might
be. Well, Central has talent and great coaching staff.
Football, there's never been a champion that I can remember, ever, that truly – you could look back and say, oh, boy, that's like a Hoosier story. How did they beat that group? The best football team with the best talent every year tries and proves themselves that they're the best, because they have the best talent.
Well, you're absolutely right. And Central has great coaching, great talent.
I already said that. Yeah, that's a given. The good schools, all schools everywhere. You can go down to Hippity. They've got good coaches. Everyone has coaches.
So let's go back to Edison, because when you left, and I'll say it again, that's what I knew. I try to tell people that it's going to fall apart because they did not take care of Matt. Washington Union will be the next powerhouse. They are now becoming a powerhouse. Coach Francis and this staff doing a great job. And, of course, Central Memorial, because you're going to get the scragglers on that team. It's going to take a special guy to coach Edison, and it has to be maybe a Corey Hall, maybe a Rock Green, somebody like that, to keep the kids in. Because right now they're rushing in like the border wall between the United States and Mexico. They are fleeing. And Edison's going to be Division II before you know it, because they've let it
down. And I don't want all the pressure on one school like the one we're talking about. That's not – you know, Bullard has a say in this thing where they've got to get amass talent. But anybody that would tell you otherwise, I'm sorry, because I'm in the business. It's – if you're trying to be just a transactional coach, it's all about winning. You had Coach Ryan Smith out of Clovis East Baseball say it very clearly. If you were all wrapped up in that, only that factor of winning, then you wouldn't be a very good coach, and you wouldn't be doing the kids a service. Have to be about transforming lives. And all those people we're talking about do that. But at some point, if you're trying to hang banners and if you're trying to make a stand, which it looks like baseball at Bullard with that great coaching staff they've put together, that the group that we saw that went over to Bullard, I mean, you know, Coach Don Arak's one of the legends, a Hall of Famer in his own right, is co-head coach. When do you think that was ever going to happen in his lifetime? They were making a stand that they're not going to go away quietly to these superpower centrals of the world. But the bottom line is that's the only thing that's going to have to take place to knock Central off the football deal. If someone out there is talking about Clovis, the Cougars, the great legacy, we had Coach Tim Simons, the legend, here last week. If someone over at Clovis is spotting out thinking, well, it's time for us to start winning championships, you're never going to win a championship if you can't go toe-to-toe with the kind of talent they've got over there. And they've lost players to other schools in their time. That's what it comes down to. And Central has the monopoly on that.
So now they're now the Folsom in our area.
They are clearly the Folsom. Maybe you didn't get the news flash. They won a California State Division I championship. It's official. Central has arrived.
So instead of getting kids from Clovis or this area, they might be getting kids from
Well, we already saw that. They got kids coming in from Los Banos. They've got kids coming in from Dos Palos. Yeah. Excuse me. A kid's coming. Where are you from? His kid's coming up from Tulare. And it's not that they're illegally recruiting. That's just what the kids do.
And great point, Matt.
These kids talk to one another. It's like, well, where are you? I like you. You're a good quarterback.
But great point. But look at all the kids that are going to Division I on Central. That recruits yourself.
They don't have that many going. That's what's shocking, though. They didn't have as many as I thought.
Three or four.
They didn't have as many as I thought. Jeremiah Hunter, Ricky Correa. You got another one going D1 that I don't know about? Because I haven't heard it.
I got to look. I'll check my list.
All right.
Well, I want to thank Ryan Smith today. Clovis East T-Wolves baseball dinner is Saturday night. That's on my Twitter page. Kerman, I'll be out there next Friday night, the Kerman Lions. That'll be a lot of fun. Carlos Salazar is inducted into their Hall of Fame, so it'll be a lot of fun. I want to thank Bobby Boy for having a great day. Dickie's Barbecue, Fashion Furniture, Tony D coming up next. And, of course, Matty J, you're the best. Have a great afternoon, everybody, and we will see you tomorrow at 4 o'clock on The Zone right here on 940 ESPN, your Central Section sports leader.
Get in the game.